Board North Coast Region consider adoption of proposed order number R1-2018-0011. This item has been properly noticed. All those who expect to give testimony in these matters, please stand, raise your right hand, and take the following oath. Shushu, Maggie.
Yes, me.
Do you swear and affirm that you'll tell the truth in this matter?
I do.
Fantastic. Ms. Maggie Robinson.
Hello. Chairman Noren, members of the board, I am Maggie Robinson. I'm an engineering geologist in the Southern Timber Unit within the Nonpoint Source Division. And I'm here today to go over proposed order, the waiver of waste discharge requirements and general water quality certification for road management and activities conducted under the Five Counties Program in the North Coast Region. The purpose of this presentation is to go over the renewal of the original 2013 waiver that was issued back in May of 2013 to solicit comments from the public, if there are any, and to inform you guys about the status of the waiver and the contents of the waiver. So, I have a clicker. There we go. This is my outline for the presentation. We're going to go over a history of the Five Counties Cell Mounted Conservation Program. We're going to go over the progress and lessons learned to date. We're going to go over the 2018 substantive changes and the proposed order before you. Any public comments that we received, we did receive one. And how does this fit in with our sediment control strategy for the whole region? And what this doesn't do, what is needed, next steps. So, going back to 1997, the Five Counties Cell Mounted Conservation Program includes most of the North Coast region. It covers the counties of Mendocino, Humboldt, Del Norte, Trinity, and Siskiyou. The program was initiated in 1998 as a result of the 1997 listing of coho salmon. As part of the program initiation, the five counties commissioned UC Davis to conduct a study, and that study was released entitled The Effects of County Land Use Regulations and Management on Anadromous Salmonids and Their Habitats for the five counties in Northern California. So the results of the study showed three main things, and that was that improvements in maintenance activities needed to be made, that standardization of road and bridge maintenance policies needed to happen, and that continuing education and training of roads personnel was essential. So the 5C manual was adopted and developed in 2002 as a result of these findings. And when I say adopted, not by the board itself, but by the five counties themselves. So this is the cover of the manual, and the manual contains best management practices for repair and maintenance of county roads. It also contains provisions to minimize the disturbance of riparian areas and to maintain shade on watercourses. It has DIRT, the direct inventory of road treatment methodology for doing road inventories to identify, prioritize, and to treat those sites that they make, that they get into the inventories. There's a monitoring and reporting program within the manual itself, and there's also a training program which outlines what counties can look at and what they can do to get their staff trained up for road maintenance activities and the issues that can surround those activities. In 2013, we adopted the first 5C waiver, and I say 5C, that's just a shortened version of the Five Counties Cell Mounted Conservation Program, just to keep it simple. And that effort resulted from the recognition that there are more than 20 TMDLs in our North Coast region that address sediment and temperature-impaired watersheds. And it's long been recognized, both within TMDLs and scientific literature, that roads are a significant source of anthropogenic sediment, if not the most significant source within these areas. At the time of the 5C waiver development, discharges from road maintenance activities were not comprehensively covered. So as of 2013, before the adoption of the first iteration of this waiver, we didn't have a comprehensive county road enrollment process. In 2008, that was the kickoff. It was our board, you guys, and, well, some of you, and our then executive officer, that recognized the opportunity to use the 5C program because it's a well-structured program. It has all the components that we need for TMDL implementation contained within that program. And it was basically an off-the-shelf program that counties could adopt and implement in a fairly straightforward manner. So we chose to use that as our model to base this waiver off of. And I do want to point out that this project passed through many hands from 2008 until 2013. It landed with me, and I was the one that was fortunate enough to be able to see it through to completion. And it's been quite a time. So the 2013 waiver, the original waiver, a very general structure. There is a waiver to it. There is a general 401 water quality certification and a monitoring and reporting program within the 2013 order. The waiver relies on the BMPs and the procedures contained in the 5C manual. And it covers low and moderate risk county roads, road projects, I should say. And there's also an option that we included for private and non-county entities to enroll as well, recognizing that although the manual was originally written specifically for county roads, there are many things within it that can be brought into the private sector for private sector rural roads. And just to point out, the program itself and the enrollment in the waiver is voluntary. Counties choose whether or not to adopt the 5C, officially adopt it as their road maintenance program, and then they choose to enroll their projects in this waiver. So, progress made. The original five counties, they all signed up for it, which is good since they were the ones that developed the project, and we worked extensively with them on the development of this waiver. So we have the original five counties enrolled. We also, because it was open to non-county entities, we had a defunct cannabis grow site enrolled as well. And the city of Ferndale contacted us and used this as an interim road management project while they were working on a more comprehensive road and flood control program. 42 projects have been completed in the past 5 years under the 2013 waiver. 79 culverts have been replaced. There were 3 riprap replacements, putting back riprap that hadn't been keyed in properly. It was re-keyed and put back in its original footprint. We had 2 sediment removal projects, and we had a flat car bridge replacement as well. Things that we learned, so that's what's been done. The lessons we've learned during the review and inspection and collaboration on those 42 projects was that we had different projects that required different levels of review. Some projects were very low risk with no permanent impacts associated with them, whereas others had more moderate risk to water quality, and they did have permanent, not super significant permanent impacts, but there were permanent impacts associated with them, and they did require a more detailed, in-depth level of review and more staff time to go into them. We also realized that in choosing to be cautious with this first-time programmatic road waiver, we opted not to include projects that took place in watercourses where fish were present. That ended up excluding a lot of projects that could have been eligible for enrollment under this waiver. Straightforward culvert replacements that didn't need extensive review. Very straightforward. They could have fit, but because of the presence of fish, they weren't able to enroll and had to pursue individual 401s. We also realized that not all county projects are covered under the 5C waiver. They do projects that get individual 401 certifications. They get projects that get state board certifications. And they also do projects that end up getting waste discharge requirements when no 404 permit is required. And as we were looking through these different kinds of projects, we realized there is no comprehensive reporting on the road work that counties do in a given year. There's no one place that we can look at and say, oh, look at everything that Del Norte did this past year, all their emergency stuff, all their individual 401s, all their 5C projects. And so we realized that a place where we could look at all those projects at a glance would be of benefit not only to our staff but to the board as well. So everybody could have a clear picture of what has been going on for a given year. And finally, the 2013 waiver was limited in scope to cover the original geographic scope of the original five counties. So that meant Siskiyou, Humboldt, Del Norte, Trinity County, and that portion of Mendocino County that doesn't include the Russian River watershed. So Sonoma County, Glenn County, Southern Mendocino, and Marin counties, and Modoc counties were not eligible to have projects enrolled under this waiver. So hold on here. There we go. So we made revisions, and the revisions that we made were the development of categories A and B for the different kinds of projects out there. Category A projects are ones that require minimal staff review time, don't require 401 certification, and are very straightforward. This includes work being done in dry water courses, such as in-kind culvert replacements or simple riprap replacement projects also within dry water courses. Category B is for those projects that require more staff time and resource investment in the review and the enrollment of those projects. Projects in wetted water courses, projects where fish are present, projects where stream diversions are needed, or just, you know, things that are bigger in scope, they have more potential for impacts, and they definitely have permanent impacts associated with them. Okay. So coming forward to 2018, it's time to renew the 2013 waiver. It's been 5 years. So we kept the same format for the 2018, for the proposed order before you, as we did for the original 2013 waiver. And that includes straightforward waiver, a general 401 water quality certification, and a monitoring and reporting plan. The waiver still relies on the implementation of BMPs and procedures contained in the 5C manual. And again, it covers low to moderate risk projects. So the 2018 waiver covers all 5C road maintenance projects within the manual, with the exception of bridge painting, which requires a separate state board permit. Oops, hold on, going back there. Okay, there we go. Finding number 4, which is within the waiver itself at the bottom of page 1, just if you care to look, lists the general types of activities that are covered. And these include road maintenance, culvert maintenance, soil disposal, maintenance yard maintenance, bridge maintenance, emergency maintenance of roads, snow and ice removal, and treatment of legacy sites. And just to point out that inventorying, prioritization, and treatment of legacy sediment sites are specifically called out not only in this waiver, but also within the manual itself. And those are part of our TMDL implementation strategy for our region. Okay. So the 2018 waiver does not, hold on, sorry. The 2018 waiver does not cover new road construction. It only covers existing roads. It doesn't cover bridge painting. It doesn't cover mining discharges that are done within the counties. It doesn't cover the storage or use of asphalt grindings in stockyards or roads where there's hydrologic connectivity. And we have a bunch of literature on that. That is an addition to this waiver that wasn't present in the 2013 version. It doesn't cover herbicide or pesticide applications, and it doesn't cover Caltrans project. They have their own separate permitting mechanism in place. So going over Category A projects, just to give some more clarification, What those involve, one of our substantive changes in the proposed order, is that they have low potential for water quality impacts. They require minimal staff time review, and no Army Corps permit is needed for those projects. And again, they cover vegetation management, hydrologic disconnection of road segments, work in dry water courses, soil disposal and disposal site maintenance, emergency maintenance and snow and ice removal. Pardon me, my mouth is dry. I had coffee right before I got here and I didn't have a chance to drink some water. So if I'm muttering a bit, forgive me. Okay. Oops, hold on. There we go. Category B projects within the waiver are ones that have a moderate potential for water quality impacts, and they may require Clean Water Act Section 404, 401 permitting, or waste discharge requirements for coverage. They require more staff review time. Thank you so much. they include projects such as low water crossing maintenance, water course crossing culvert maintenance and repair, work in water courses where fish are present, temporary water course diversions, bridge drift removal, and treatment of legacy sediment sites. The proposed order before you contains a general 401 water quality certification, and that provides coverage for projects that receive that certification for 5 years. It allows for the use of the California Department of Fish and Wildlife Lake and Stream Bed Alteration 1600 Agreement paperwork in lieu of a 401 application. So that was designed to streamline the permitting process so they only have one 20-page application to fill out as opposed to two. The proposed order before you also has a monitoring and reporting plan. It's based off of Chapter 10 that's contained within the manual. The manual does have an entire chapter devoted to monitoring, reporting, how to do it. It contains recommendations on how to go about doing implementation monitoring, effectiveness monitoring, photo point monitoring, and project level monitoring. All projects conducted under the 5C waiver are required to do implementation and effectiveness monitoring. To date, we haven't had a project that requires photo point monitoring or project level monitoring, but I can see in the future where we might. Photo point monitoring is also very beneficial for very remote, faraway places where we just can't get to it within a timely manner. So that is a good option for the future, especially as we expand the scope of this waiver geographically and may not be able to hit all the spots that we may want to hit within a given year. So they can report to us using photographs as well as a way of doing monitoring and letting us know how things are working out. Annual reports, part of the monitoring and reporting program. They are required to be submitted every year by the counties. And within the reports, this was the substantive change that I was talking about earlier. Instead of just a list of what they did with the 5C program and what they're planning on doing for the upcoming year, we would like a comprehensive list, and we're asking for a comprehensive list of all the road projects that were done with the individual 401s, with the WDRs, emergency work that may not fall under this waiver, as well as a list of upcoming projects. All the projects, again, ones that might require individual 401s, ones that may require WDRs. That way we have within one report a snapshot of what the county has been doing in the previous year and what they're planning on doing. It also gives us a much better idea, too. We have received lists from counties of proposed projects that weren't done because of heavy rainy seasons and a lot of emergency work that needed to be conducted. Does that mean they didn't do anything? No, it just means that they had to divert their time, attention, and resources elsewhere. But we didn't have a snapshot of that in the reports because they weren't required to talk about that or list out those projects. The reports are also required to include a summary of the implementation and effectiveness monitoring that was done during the previous year for 5C projects. It requires disclosure of the corrective actions that were taken in the event that the best management practices that were being implemented weren't effective or didn't function as anticipated. And they're also required to give us progress on their sediment site inventories. How are they doing with that? How many did you get done? What's your timeline for future fixes of high priority sites? Illicit discharge investigations are part of the reporting process, as well as trainings that county staff took to keep up to date with current standards practices and water quality considerations within their within their counties and their areas. So we did a 30-day review period for our mitigated negative declaration that we issued for this waiver. The CEQA document addressed all projects and maintenance activities that were covered under the waiver. The public review period went from February 2nd to March 5th, and we didn't get any comments on it. So the waiver itself had a 45-day public review period due to the embedded General 401 certification within it. And we received one comment from Humboldt County, and the comment was a simple request to add to the list of Category A projects allowed within dry water courses. And so the language, we agreed with the suggestions made, and we changed the language in item number one under Category A to read, the following activities are authorized on dry water courses: channel maintenance, including the removal of accumulated sediments at culvert inlets, outlets, in-kind culvert replacements, and or placement of riprap. The benefits of the proposed order in front of you is that, and this is for the counties, this is what it does for the counties. We'll start with that first. It waives the requirements for reports of waste discharge and for waste discharge requirements. It streamlines the application process through the use of California Department of Fish and Wildlife 1600 agreement paperwork. It also doesn't have project-specific CEQA fees. Since we did a mitigated negative declaration for the waiver itself, all projects done under this waiver are covered. And so individual CEQA does not need to be done for those projects, which saves the counties money. And that was the goal. And finally, an unanticipated benefit of the 5C waiver was that the California Department of Fish and Wildlife worked with Humboldt County to craft a long-term 1600 agreement for all their road maintenance activities that they did as part of this project. And that's important because they used our mitigated negative declaration to, they tiered off our MND for the development of that 1600. When we had our last annual meeting with the counties, Mendocino County heard of this long-term agreement and they're very, very interested in getting their own long-term 1600. And that would be of benefit to Mendocino County and any other county, I think, too, because at that point, they're not having to fill out a whole bunch of paperwork every time, and they can do sub-notifications for those projects that they're doing as part of this waiver under that long-term 1600. Oops. Okay, I think I keep hitting the forward button inadvertently. So the benefits of the proposed waiver for our region are that it does comply with our state non-point source policy, and it addresses a major source of sediment within our region, one that's called out repeatedly in our TMDLs, and that's discharges from county and rural roads, as well as the maintenance activities that take place on those roads. It contributes to TMDL compliance for roads, both through our sediment TMDL implementation policy, which directs staff to use existing permitting and enforcement tools to attain water quality standards. It's in conformance with our 2005 State Board Impaired Waters Policy, which says that TMDLs may be adopted with a resolution that a regulatory program is being implemented by another entity and that the impairment is being corrected. It's in conformance with our 2008 Sediment Work Plan, which identified county roads as needing comprehensive regulatory coverage for sediment TMDL achievement. And it's also in alignment with our 2014 temperature implementation policy, which applies to all North Coast waters, regardless of their impairment status. So here's the big question. Where does this fit in with everything that we're doing in our region-wide sediment control strategy? I'm going to take us back to February for Jonathan Wormerdam's SOS 2 Fish and Hot Water presentation. And within that presentation, Jonathan called out a number of dials that factor into salmonid recovery. And two of those dials were considered to be rapid response. One was the placement of large wood in watercourses, and the other one was roads, disconnecting roads from hydrologically disconnecting roads. And what this does is it provides a mechanism, a programmatic mechanism, for that disconnection to happen. It's more streamlined. It's less expensive, and it really is meant to be programmatic road coverage and to use an already existing program. Counties don't have to reinvent the wheel. They can take this existing program, and they can implement it as a mechanism to prevent and minimize their discharges from road maintenance and repair activities. So with respect to our permits that we've issued within the North Coast region, here's the list of permits that we have issued. The 2004 timber general waste discharge requirements addresses timber roads. The 2011 and 2014 Bear Creek and Jordan Creek watershed waste discharge requirements also address roads. The 2010 Green Diamond Road Program waste discharge requirements. The 2013 Mendocino Permit Coordination Program also addresses roads. The 2015 U.S. Forest Service waiver addresses roads. And the 2013 Forest Practice Road Rules that our staff person, Dave Fowler, was very involved with, reconfigured the road regulations within the Forest Practice Rules and made them more protective of water quality. And, of course, we have our NPDES stormwater permits as well that also cover discharges from roads. So this permit is one piece in a larger overall strategy that we've been implementing throughout our region since 2004. So for the last 14 years, we have been developing permits and addressing roads systematically, starting with the private industrial timberland roads, moving into public roads such as Forest Service, BLM, bringing it now into counties and permit coordination opportunities to streamline and facilitate project implementation. So, next steps. We've gotten this far with this waiver, and the next steps, in particular after today, if the board sees to adopt this proposed order, we're going to be continuing our collaboration and coordination with county road staffs, 5C staff, and the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. And I bring in Fish and Wildlife because if there's a way that we can assist or facilitate in the development of long-term 1600 agreements with counties, we would welcome the opportunity. We'd like to give a one-year update to the board to report on what's been going on under this new waiver, to see what's being enrolled, the types of projects, and how implementation is going. And we would like to recommend that we go out and network more with RCDs and entities that interface with private rural road owners and work on getting more awareness of this waiver out to the general public. Those 79 culvert replacements were almost exclusively done on county roads. And it would be great if through the RCDs and other entities, and of course landowner groups as well, to get more awareness of this program out there for the private road owners who may not know about this or may not understand that there is an off-the-shelf road management and maintenance program that they can just use for their road management. We're thinking larger entities, ranches, Pepperwood Preserve, those sorts of larger size properties with their own road networks. We would like to have a 5C manual update done. The manual was written in 2002, and we're currently working on discretionary contract funding to get that manual updated to 2018 standards and get some more pictures in it. It's very narrative, very very wordy, but not a lot of illustrations. So with that, I would like to recommend that the proposed order R1-2018-0011 be adopted and that the mitigated negative declaration is certified. So.
Thank you, Maggie.
Yes,
very well done. Questions or comments from board members? Hector.
Yes.
Thank you for your presentation.
There are a lot of watersheds with endangered, threatened salmonids.
Yes.
Is there a priority? Is there a prioritization process taking place to focus on certain streams over others? For example, the Walala over Garcia or?
Right. Not at that large of a scale, more at the sub-watershed level. I have had conversations. I make it a point to go out with the counties every year to look at their upcoming list of projects. And we have discussions in the field about why they're choosing to do this project as opposed to another project someplace else. And endangered species and threatened species do come up as part of the conversation. For the counties, their first and foremost priority is public health and safety. So those projects that are of threat to public health and safety, they will make those a priority. And then within those, the ones that also have the potential to affect threatened or endangered species, those get put at the head of the line. That being said, the counties they're very tight on funding. And so they have this beautiful wish list of things that they would like to accomplish, but progress is slow due to that lack of funding. But they definitely, they do take that into consideration. And they have talked about it, and they have expressed frustration at not being able to move more quickly on projects that they deem important in that manner. That being said, they also coordinate with the 5C program staff. The 5C program actually has its own program staff based in Trinity County, and that entity, the 5C program staff, have obtained grant funding for habitat restoration projects. We haven't permitted any of those under this waiver simply because we didn't allow work in watercourses where fish were present to be enrolled under this. And it's my hope that by opening this up to watercourses where fish are present and permitting projects within them, provided they meet the eligibility requirements for Category A or Category B, that they'll be able to do more permitting under this.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I also wanted to point out that the Sonoma RCD has the LandSmart program that does address roads.
Yes. Thank you. Yes.
Can I make one additional comment in response to your question, Mr. Bedoya, that in the waiver under general condition number 4, one change that staff initiated was a requirement that the counties treat the highest priority legacy sediment discharge sites within a 2-year time frame. And we include some criteria for identifying what are those high priority sites. And discharging to sensitive receiving waters where salmonids are present is one of those criteria. So that's something that we've added to incentivize and encourage treatment of sediment sites where there are threatened and endangered species.
Member Quindo?
No questions, but just a comment
yes.
that the topic of roads comes up a lot because it's such an important issue for our region. So I really appreciate you painting the picture of kind of the greater context in which this permit sits. And I also really appreciate the changes being brought forward and the next steps to really open this up as an option for folks, you know, outside of just those five county entities, to be able to implement road projects. I think that the complexities and costs of permitting are a really significant barrier to private land stewardship at times. And so I really appreciate that. And I look forward to seeing, you know, in the 1 year update, you know, hopefully seeing, you know, private individual landowners being enrolled in this and using as a way to make it a little bit easier for them to do these important activities on their roads. So thank you for that.
I hope that happens too. And we'll be coming to talk to the Sonoma County RCD within the next year, if not the next couple months.
Board Member Corbett.
Well, first of all, I think it's comprehensively and brilliantly put together. And if you go back in the history of this, it was a tiny little ember and people blew on the moss to get it to catch fire. And by us giving regulatory support and how the program's grown, it's been absolutely astounding. And we have Siskiyou County, we have Humboldt County, we have all the counties participating. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that you've expanded that. I appreciate that you've done the fisheries part because some of the culverts that allow fish passage are the most effective per dollar of any of our fisheries restoration programs. And I like it that you are allowing private sector people on a voluntary basis to come in. And I think you're on the right track on trying to get permit 401 relief, fee relief. Ultimately, we may be forcing the state board to make some changes in how they administer the 401, but I think that is probably overdue anyway, and so that might be quite a tussle, but it will be on their plate because you've done so well on this. I did want to say, you know, got to add Caltrans right after Forest Service BLM. We went through a 10-year process of regulating Caltrans, and I believe that effort now has been quite effective. There's a $600,000 fine that helped get there.
Okay.
After we tried slaps in the wrist and small fines, we finally – but that's been key. And I also don't know how you want to characterize, but I thought the HRC, even though it was a cleanup and abatement order on their roads
–
remarkably similar to this and has been picked up by Green Diamond really sort of voluntarily, but I would put that in as part of the context that this is. And we're really going after soil is soil is soil, no matter who discharges it. And I think the county road system's the next most logical one, and then after that followed by the ranches.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this steps forward very strongly in both of those, and I'm very, very impressed with your work.
Thank you. Just to point out, Sonoma County, we did outreach to Sonoma County as part of this development process, and they were very excited with the idea of being able to enroll under this, and they actually prepared us a list of 300 culverts that they would like to have permitted under this waiver. So the outreach that we've done with them was very positive, and they have their NOI ready to go, their notice of intent to adopt the 5C program. They were using the 4C, the Fishnet 4C program, but as it turns out, that one is defunct. So they decided to re-up with the 5C program and take that on. So after the adoption hearing, I'll probably be giving them a phone call, and they'll be working on getting that enrollment into the program and the waiver as well.
So. Board Member Justy?
Thank you, Maggie. That was excellent. A question and then a comment for you. When we talk about trainings for county staff, is there any planned or mandatory training of the manual? that people are required to sit through and have someone like yourself walk them through? And then the second part of that, if there isn't, or if there is, might it be possible to afford the participants of such a training that they're 5C certified? In other words, make that strong connection to the manual and make sure that county folks and others are trained in what is in Chapter 10 and 6 and 4.
Right, right. There was an annual training that went on for years that the 5C program staff put on. It walked county road crews through the manual, chapter by chapter, what it entailed. There is also an outdoor component where techniques for grading, for ditch cleaning, timing of ditch cleaning, which is also incredibly important, culvert installations, what it means to set something to grade. It was a really robust training that took place over, gosh, I think 3 days. And there hasn't been the funding available for county staff to go to these trainings, given the dearth of resources and the dearth of people they have. When they send their road crews, they don't have anybody, they don't have backups to work on the roads.
Well, so I would encourage you, as you and your partners work to identify discretionary funding for support. This thing's been around, the manual's been around since 2002.
Yep.
People have retired.
Yep.
There's new people that have probably never heard of the manual. So there's I think there's an immediate need to reconnect these crews with this manual. So I'll stop there.
Yes.
The other thing I want to point out and share with my board members that, you know, this thing, I'm going to support the waiver. I don't have a problem with that. But I was around in 1998 when the 5C notion came up and counties were involved in it. That was 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And even though I appreciate what the waiver is trying to do, it's not enough. I mean, we're still trying to coax people to protect water quality.
I agree.
And I appreciate that we want to give people choices and how they protect water quality. But as I said in WEED, protecting water quality is not a choice. There's a law that says you must do that.
Right.
And the notion that, you know, when you say how this fit into our other programs, you know, for someone like me, it's obvious that the timber industry and the timber roads are bearing the brunt of all of the regulatory burden that we keep placing on them, and other road users are not held to the same standard. My opinion is it doesn't matter what a road is used for. It doesn't matter if you're driving to a house or if you're driving to pick up a log. It's the road that is the risk of delivering sediment to water. And so this notion that county rural roads have a choice to be in the waiver, that's great. But what's the choice if they don't join the waiver? And so I think as much as I appreciate how a waiver tries to streamline regulations, gives regulatory relief, it falls short of what needs to happen. People need to know that they are responsible for their road. If a county permits a road, then the county is obligated to ensure that road is built and maintained to a standard, just like we do for private timber roads. So I guess my rant here is that even though I appreciate what the waiver is going to do and what it does, there needs to be consequence for those who choose not to do anything.
Right.
We've been talking about this for 20 years. It's time.
I agree. I think one of the recommended because there are all kinds of different directions we could go once this is adopted, and we're in I guess the second edition of this this programmatic waiver, and one of the directions that we can recommend going is to start working with counties and the roads that they permit as part of development within the county. Work with them on how to get those in a maintenance program so the roads just aren't built and then left, but that there's follow-up with those roads and that there's accountability for them. That's one of the reasons we want to be reaching out to RCDs and to other non-perceived as non-governmental groups, where we can interface with them and through them work with private road owners and really make sure that the information is out there, that there is this program and that road owners are required to take care of their roads and that discharging is a privilege and not a right, and that road projects that can impact water quality require permits. We have individual 401s that can cover that, that have been used on large-scale projects that RCDs have gotten grants for. And there are also waste discharge requirements for those projects that don't require 401 certification. But we have permits. We just, I don't know if there has been, if we've had the resources to really make that sort of expanded, concerted effort. I think we're finally to a point where we can start doing that once, now that we have all these other permit programs in place for roads and capturing them. But perhaps as a recommended action for us going forward is to really focus on and emphasize to rural road owners that this is necessary. Yes.
I just want to say, I think if you go back 5 years, we had the concept of seeing whether we could get a county road ordinance and county roads certified.
Mm-hmm.
And that would provide much more comprehensive and puts it in a regulatory format. But I think first of all, we haven't had any county volunteers. And I do think this program has opened more doors with the counties for looking at road maintenance and taking care of it than anything we have going. So I don't view it as the end all, but I do view that I think it's a very important interim step. I love it that Siskiyou County's cooperating. And I think if we went in and said, certify your regs or we're coming in heavy handed, we'd spend all our time on that issue. So I agree with Board Member Gusti on the end goal, but I think it takes a little time. Just like it took a lot of time with Caltrans, it's taken a lot of time with each group.
Right.
But I think we are headed towards soil is soil. It needs to stay out of the creeks.
Mm-hmm. And I would like to point out that Siskiyou County happily calls me and says, hey, come check out what we did. So I think that was a good step.
But if you have the opportunity of a county that gets so enthused off this, that wants to certify their program, I think we ought to open every possible door, because if that county's happy with the program and brags about it to the other counties, that's how we're going to get comprehensive.
I agree. I think this is not the end all be all. There is room for growth and room for improvement in how we do our outreach, and maybe in future iterations of this, changes that can be made to better facilitate that. We do have Region 5 called me yesterday and asked about this waiver and how they could use it to address their rural roads. Other regions are aware of this. And like I said, it's not the end-all be-all, but it's a good interim step. There is room for growth and room for improvement. And I think as part of our recommended steps that we would like to check in with the board on and exec, of course, looking forward to maybe having a road summit where we get everybody together and we really look at this issue of roads and sediment discharges and really try to drill into what the obstacles are to better TMDL implementation and TMDL goal realization, and really figure out how to get the word out, how to get the enrollment, what changes would be needed in this program or any other program to help facilitate that, as well as our outreach and education as well. And to look, and the big elephant in the room is funding. It always comes down to funding. And so how do we creatively leverage our resources and perhaps the resources of other agencies or RCDs, other entities, to come together and maybe share priorities and share funding within watersheds that we all deem to be critical or high up on the priority list for treatment. So,
Board Member again.
So on the training and the outreach, since our region is so large, I think it would be better for us to go to the counties, because it'd be easier to send one person than the counties than to send three or four. And if you went to, like, say, Trinity County, you could get the CAO and maybe one of the Board of Supervisors and the RCD, and you could get a lot of people at the meeting. And 3 days is probably a little excessive. We probably don't need to go to that, but you could get them for a day. And I think it'd be much better for us to send out than try to get the counties to send their people, because you're right. They can get someone to sit there for the day, and there's no travel time. So I think that would be a good way to get education done.
Thank you. Yes, I wholeheartedly agree. And we learned that as part of our annual meeting process, trying to get annual meetings scheduled where everybody could show up was very, very challenging. Mm-hmm. And so we ended up doing two or more annual meetings per year just to keep it simple for the counties themselves. And so we traveled to them. And it was great. And it was it wasn't even a whole day meeting, more like two-thirds of a day. And even in that amount of time, we had really good feedback and really good questions. And we were able to establish transparent and cooperative professional relationships with the counties, not just with the higher ups within the road departments, but the road crews themselves, having them there and be able to ask questions and not feel self-conscious about what they were asking, because we were where they were, and we were in their, we were basically at their house, and they were asking us questions. We were guests instead of them having to travel to here or to another place.
I see this being as a huge cost savings for a lot of counties. So I know that in our county, there's not a lot of communication between the road department, the CAO, and the Board of Supervisors. It's Trinity. But if you had the meeting and invited them, then the supervisor and the CAO would hear the same information and it wouldn't get filtered from the road department.
Right.
Mr. Corbett.
I hate to add anything as far as additional burdens, but one thing I think would be valuable this upcoming year is to really look at our existing 401 certification process from the feds to the state to us, and come up with areas that may need to be changed, and we can come up with a strategy to interface that with the state board, because some of what you're doing is affecting revenue, and I can tell you right there, you can be right and still wrong. But I don't think we're going to, like I said, I think this is going to push it to the boundary, but I think we're going to have to look at that administration a little deeper, and if you could get a plan and a strategy that we could review, I think that would be helpful. And then begin the long process of working with the state board on it, because they have to be very careful not to set statewide precedents that they don't want to live with. But I do think there's certain areas, if we could just cross certain boundaries that are pretty small, we could really open some doors.
Agreed.
All really good comments. Maggie, just to build on that a little bit and to maybe just ask a couple other questions here. For one thing, I do agree that this permit actually, or the waiver itself, is a it's comprehensive. It actually integrates many pieces of our regulatory structure into a county system, and to provide avenues for compliance that tries to make it easier, right? And that I think that's very good. To have a surrogate, to have this be a surrogate to the 1602 process is very good. And to then have all these ingredients, I think, are right. And building in, and I support the additions to this permit as it is now. Let me ask you, so the Army Corps on this, the 401 is the nexus to the 404. How's the Army Corps? I imagine depending upon, because the 52 nationwide permits then would be additional to this, which one would be the right permit to apply to the project itself, has the Army Corps been accepting, and has there been a nationwide permit that it essentially couples with the permitting process here?
There hasn't been one that's been specifically coupled to it. There are two in particular that counties use when they are applying for this. And the most common one is a non-reporting nationwide permit number 3. So the majority of the projects we've gotten out of those 42 projects used a non-reporting nationwide 3. And the other one was a nationwide permit 14. So those are the two that are almost exclusively used for these projects.
Yeah, which would be appropriate. That's the maintenance and the linear road projects,
right,
I believe.
Right.
And the Army Corps permit is a $0 permit as far as the permit fee goes, I believe. But mm-hmm. That's not to negate the fact that the preparing a permit, documentation, maybe professional services that support that is not free, right?
Right.
But I mean, it does streamline that. Mm-hmm. As it goes too, I think that the applicability and the flexibility to apply this to either road association, ranches, private lands, I think is spot on as well. To integrate this at the county level and to look at MS4 coverage, for instance, bring this to Sonoma County for a minute, mm-hmm. where we, in MS4, I believe, is a phase one. Now the phase twos have been added to phase one in the whole region. It seems that this would be directly applicable. I mean, region one is not particularly special in that it is sediment impaired in a large part.
Mm-hmm.
And you're correct that roads in the sediment inventory have been a significant contribution to that impairment. Not the only one for sure, but a significant one.
Mm-hmm.
And I assume, by the way, when you talk about the coordinator, you're talking Mark Lancaster and his group at Trinity?
Mark Lancaster is the program director, and Sandra Perez is the program manager up there.
And I remember a couple times we went to Weaverville. We saw some projects, I believe, that were in the beginning stages of this permit that were done. I think those guys do a yeoman's effort up there. Have you found this permit, though, Maggie, at the same time? Does it bring funding opportunities? Does it, because it is a kind of all-encompassing, does it position projects for a better opportunity for funding? Because we're talking about rural counties here that are cash-strapped by the very nature of existence.
It has provided some fee relief in the sense that individual CEQA development for projects isn't needed, so the cost associated with having that CEQA work done isn't there. I am not entirely sure if the development of a long-term 1600 reduces the costs for the counties. I think it does.
I would imagine.
Yeah. Certainly Humboldt County was very much in favor, and they were very happy to get that agreement in place.
Certainly, too, to have a built-in CEQA document to this project to this permit is very significant.
Yes.
Because if you have to do individual CEQA analysis for individual projects, that gets very laborious and expensive.
It was at least $1,200 when we were looking at the 2013 waiver development and looking at costs. So $1,200 per project for CEQA development.
Yeah, I would imagine that's probably way low these days.
Right.
So I think, you know, again, I'm highly supportive of this kind of structure to have, you know, a built-in CEQA document, a programmatic permit. It's all-encompassing. I think it's got the ingredients. I think that I agree with the board member Giusti's comments that when we look at some of these sediment sources, we've looked at time go by, and that we should also not negate the fact that we have authority under Port of Cologne for enforcement for real issues here.
Right.
And that we need to be aware of that and to be cognizant of the fact of when it's used and how it's used.
Right.
Certainly these types of programs for rural counties that are cash-strapped to try to get to a pathway towards making these easier, more efficient, certainly cheaper, prioritization of projects, as you describe, and expansion of this program to include other entities, I think is smart. It's smart regulatory, and I think that this is a very pragmatic approach to roads at this point. I do agree that a road summit, take the mountain to Mohammed here, when it comes to going to rural counties instead of trying to get them down here and the burden of that, I think this program really sells well. It's obviously got legs at this point. You've got a coordinator in Mark Lancaster and his group, but you've also got your expertise and the expertise of the staff that you work with on all fronts. So I also agree with that. But I want to thank you. You've been very steady here in bringing this 5 years forward. I like and the last thing I'll say, I like the idea of an update in 1 year to float out and see where we are at in a year. Mm-hmm. So if we could calendar 1 year forward, we'll see you again and tell us how it's going.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds great. I think also at that point we would be ready to, in addition to the waiver, also with Road Summit and where that could take us. And
well, perhaps in that, not to nudge under our nose under the tent, but if there's the opportunity for those types, I assume you do that in a workshop format or something like that. If it is, please let us know. You know, not that we want to gang up and have, you know, six board members show up at a road summit, but I would imagine there could be some interest there that maybe could lend some support and ideas as well.
Or maybe we could just have a great big road summit here and
perhaps
have all y'all come.
Perhaps. That's great.
Okay. Mr. Chair? Piece.
Any other board member comments or questions? Oh,
yeah. I would love to just add on the kind of cost saving and funding front. You asked about whether a permit like this would create more opportunities for funding. And I think that's really an added benefit I was thinking about during your presentation is the CEQA coverage piece. More and more state funding agencies, particularly when the funding's coming from like Proposition 1, for example, they want to see CEQA done before you can get funding for project implementation. And so in that way, I think if there are, you know, either county or private projects that are would otherwise be eligible for grant funding, it's really a huge boon to be able to point at a CEQA document and say this document exists and this is where we can get coverage for a project. That could really make the difference between getting grant funding and not getting grant funding. So I think that's another benefit that didn't come up in the presentation but could be a really powerful one.
Good. Thanks for pointing that out.
Any other board members' comments? We have one speaker card, Maggie. So I'm going to take a speaker. Anybody else who wants to comment on this, please feel free. Maggie, we'll take a speaker card and we'll come back.
Okay.
So Mr. Bob Legge, Russian River Keeper.
Good morning, Chair Norn and board members. Bob Legge with the Russian River Keeper. I just wanted to thank Maggie for a very informative presentation, and I wanted to echo what Board Member Gusti brought up about the issues around all roads in our watershed and the fact that, as you mentioned, Board Chair Norn, the authority that this board has to look at roads throughout the area and address those in a different program under rather than this 5C waiver. And thank you, Maggie, for the recommendations that you brought up, especially the increased coordination with the RCDs and the Rural Roads Association. I think that's a really important thing to consider. Just a couple of questions. I'm interested in particularly this county on with the fire, and we've been doing a lot of work out on the Reebley Road corridor, as well as in the Marquess Springs Road area, and we've seen a lot of county roads that have just been dug up, and because of the heavy excavation equipment and the equipment going in to remove debris, and those roads, even though they were paved surfaces, are now demolished. And I think that come this winter, we're going to see a big problem with sediment going into the waterways associated with those roads. And I'm just curious, if this is passed today, if you do adopt this, would the county, the Sonoma County, be able to go under this waiver to do work? And then I guess the second question is, are the annual reports available for public review? In other words, can I go online and see what our county is doing here locally and the roads they're working on? Is that public access? So those are just two of the questions that I had.
Those are good questions, Bob. We might, let's do this and bring, Maggie, we only have one speaker card. Can you just come back up and maybe address that while Bob's here?
It's good to see you. Hi. So Bob used to work here. Could Sonoma County enroll road work related to the fires under this? They could. They As I mentioned earlier, they have prepared a list of 300 culverts that they would, culvert replacements and culvert work projects that they would like to see enrolled under this waiver. At this point in time, I don't know where those culverts are and the circumstances behind their needing replacement. I don't know if they were damaged during the fires themselves or fire suppression efforts. I will know more once they get their NOI in and get that list to us, which should be within a week or two. It's my understanding that there's grant funding available for road improvements or to remediate roads that were damaged as a part of the fires. Am I correct on that? I know that we just did grant reviews and there were monies awarded for a fire recovery efforts. And I am not sure. I didn't review any of those grants, so I'm not sure if road work is part of it, although I would not be surprised given that roads and road conditions played a large part in people being able to leave when they needed to get out. So, as well as dead and dying trees along those roads posing public health and safety hazards. The annual reports have not been made available for public consumption. We could potentially do that. I would offered that up as an option that we could do. I don't know what sort of changes we would need to make to this permit to do that with the monitoring reporting program.
Well, all reports that are submitted are part of the public record, so there's nothing prohibiting their being made public. But Maggie's point is that they're not routinely posted on our website. As part of this particular conditional waiver.
Does the coordination through Mark Lancaster and his group then do an aggregated report in any way?
You mean in together?
Yeah.
They have in the past, and they have reports on the 5C website under, I believe, their document library page on the website. I was just on it yesterday. I did not see anything more recent than 2015. The 5C program staff used to develop and put together the annual reports for the counties, but as a way to save money, the counties started doing it themselves, so they wouldn't be outsourcing to the 5C program staff.
So Maggie, what I'm hearing in response to Bob's question is that perhaps the some of the fire-damaged roads and culverts could be potentially brought under this program. Mm-hmm. It sounds like there's a large inventory out here of several hundred that could be looked at and prioritized. That seems reasonable. It's hard to drive up Mark West Springs Road at this point in time.
Yes.
And Brush Creek Road, they really suffered a big brunt of the Tubbs Fire.
Mm-hmm.
They're certainly not unique. There's other small watersheds and tribs out there that got hammered as well. And that's just going to be something that's going to have to be worked through. Certainly, it seems like if our county administrator in Sonoma County's got her pen poised and ready to sign that NOI following at say, like I would imagine, about 10:20, that might just work. No enticement here. The other thing is I hear that, you know, it is public information is what I hear. It
yes.
sounds like it's been posted in some forms out there. I don't know the wisdom of putting everything up on the website, but it sounds you've heard the comment,
mm-hmm.
and we are a public agency. So I think
right.
the answer to the question, Bob, is they are available,
yes.
and you certainly know where 5550 Sky Lane is.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And we can make them available upon request. We did not consider just putting them up on the website, but that can... We can change that.
Well, how about this, Maggie? You're scheduled to come back in a year.
Mm-hmm.
There's certainly information out there now. They're publicly mm-hmm. available now by request. If there is a discussion and make that part of the information out there in going back to these enrollees, including the new enrollee in Sonoma County
mm-hmm.
and some of the other rural counties, and have that as an option out there, and maybe even look at the 5C program webpage. Certainly it sounds like it's been posted in part out there.
Mm-hmm, it has.
You know, we are a transparent public agency, so that could be done.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your questions, Bob. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'm ready to move, Mr. Chairman.
We have, by the way, we have a CEQA document that we're certifying here, and I believe we need to go in a two-step. I think this is a two-putt, or can we do them in one?
Can be done in one. Yeah, you can go ahead and just adopt.
just call them both out. I will entertain a motion, Mr. Covert.
I'll move that we certify the environmental documents as being adequate as presented in the staff report, and that we adopt order number R1-2018-0011.
Patty, could you please call the roll?
Board Member Plinto.
Aye.
Board Member Bedoya.
Aye.
Board Member Corbett.
Aye.
Chairman Noren.
Aye.
Board Member Gant.
Aye.
Board Member Giusti.
Aye.
Very well done, Maggie. Thank to you, and thank you to staff for doing this. I really appreciate it. Very nice work. We'll see you in a year, if not before.
Sounds great.
It's
thank
nice
you.
To see you and your kids last night.
No, thanks.
Yeah, thank you. We're going to take a 10-minute break. We'll be back at 10:20. Actually, I'm sorry. Hold on.
We were serious.
Well, sheesh. You are.